This map shows the distribution of organic carbon stored in soils across the United States. The darker areas are where there's higher organic carbon, and the lighter areas are where there's lower organic carbon. My study site was located at Forest Falls, which is in the San Bernardino Mountains in Southern California, and it's representative of the forest ecosystems in the mountains of California, which are some of the higher organic carbon soils in the Southwest. This graph shows the organic carbon storage versus time for a series of soils ranging from 27 to 1,200 years old. This data is from the Mount Shasta mudflow Chronos sequence in Northern California. And what it shows is that the carbon accumulation is rapid for approximately 200 years. From 200 to 600 years, there's a redistribution of carbon in between the organic horizons and the mineral horizons. And from 600 years onward, there's little change in the size of the carbon pools. So overall, what this is showing is that carbon accumulation in these soils is a process in young soils. This is the data from the same study, except this time for nitrogen. And again, it shows that most of the nitrogen accumulation took place within 200 years of soil development. And if you compare between what we just saw for carbon and for nitrogen, it shows that more of the nitrogen is stored in the mineral horizons relative to the organic horizons. My first objective in this study was to determine the rates of organic carbon and total nitrogen accumulation in soils formed under coniferous forest vegetation in the San Bernardino Mountains. My hypothesis was that I would observe rapid accumulation of carbon and nitrogen during the early stages of soil development, similar to what was observed at Mount Shasta, and my approach was to measure carbon and nitrogen storage in a Chronos sequence of young soils formed in debris flows at the Forest Falls Chronos sequence site. The parent material at this site is gneissic debris flow regolith, and it originates from a ridge above the site. During debris flows, material is washed down from this ridge as a slurry of sediment and rock fragments. And when the channel overflows, it leaves deposits in the surrounding coniferous forest. And those deposits are where I studied the soil development. The site received 765 millimeters of mean annual precipitation, and the mean annual temperature is 12 degrees Celsius. The site is located at 1,700 meters elevation, and the soils that I described are on 10 to 20% north-facing slopes. And the soils ranged in age from less than 1 to 244 years old. This is what a fresh debris flow deposit looked like. This is the less than 1 year old site that we studied. And here's that same deposit again. And one of the major features you'll notice is that there's a large inclusion of rock fragments in these soils. They range from gravel to stone sized, and they occupied between 40 and 80% of the volume of these soils. The way that we determined the age of the deposits was using dendrochronology. This is another figure from the Mount Shasta study, but it's also a good illustration of the dendrogeomorphology at Forest Falls. There's a series of overlapping deposits, and the age of the trees growing on those deposits corresponds with the age of the soil. Here A is the youngest, followed by B and C and D. At Forest Falls, we established that the seedlings started growing on the debris flow deposits within about a year of deposition. An example of some of the stands that we studied is shown in this series of photographs. First, there's a 19-year-old stand, an 89-year-old stand, 129 years old, and 243 years old. In addition to these four stands shown here, we also had six other sites within the range of less than 1 to 244 years for a total of 10 sites. The soils at the sites were typic xeroorthents and typic xerofluvents, and the fluvents were distinguished by the presence of a buried A horizon. This graph shows the organic carbon concentration with depth in the less than 1 year old deposit. I described and sampled all of these soils through 100 centimeters depth, but in this graph I'm just going to show the part of the soil that was above the buried A horizon. So in this case there was a buried A horizon at 30 centimeters depth. What's a little bit surprising is that there's already organic carbon present in the less than 1 year old deposit. And that's probably because of plant matter that got mixed in with the debris flow during deposition. There was a slight increase in carbon concentration between less than 1 and 26 years. and more of an increase at 75 years. And now you can start to see the distribution of the carbon in the profile where there's more carbon accumulating at the surface. And that becomes more pronounced at 184 years and also at 244 years. This graph shows organic carbon storage versus time for the mineral soils through 70 centimeters depth. There is not much, well, no significant amount of carbon accumulation occurring within the mineral soils during this time period. However, in the organic horizons, there was a linear increase in organic carbon throughout the Cronus sequence. And this red line shows the summation of the carbon storage in the organic horizons and the mineral horizons. Overall, the rate of carbon storage was 24.8 grams per meter square per year. This graph shows nitrogen concentration with depth in the less than 1 year old deposit. And again, there was some nitrogen already present in the debris flow deposit, which probably originated from plant material that was mixed in during the debris flow. There's a slight increase in nitrogen from less than 1 to 26 years. However, at 75 years, we see something different. There was actually a depletion of nitrogen from the soil. And that's probably because of plant uptake of nitrogen. At 184 years, the effect of that depletion from plant uptake is still apparent in the lower part of the profile. However, at the surface, there's an accumulation of nitrogen. That's probably because the plants are taking nitrogen up from the whole rooting depth, but the nitrogen that's being added back from atmospheric nitrogen deposition and from readdition of plant litter to the soil is being primarily concentrated at the surface. At 244 years, the effect of that depletion phase is no longer apparent. This graph shows nitrogen storage versus time in the mineral soils through 70 centimeters depth. And again, you can see this effect of the plant uptake during the early part of the Cronus sequence. There's a depletion of nitrogen for approximately 100 years before nitrogen started to accumulate. In the organic horizons, however, there was a linear increase in nitrogen throughout the Cronus sequence. And this red line shows the summation of the nitrogen storage in the organic horizons and in the mineral horizons. To calculate a rate of nitrogen accumulation that was characteristic for this system, I just looked at the part of the Cronus sequence after the initial depletion phase, so from 75 years onward. And I found that the nitrogen was accumulating at a rate of 1.5 grams per meter square per year. My second objective in this study was to determine the influence of varied organic horizons on carbon storage at the site. So in that last part of the study, I was just looking at the part of the soils above the buried A horizons. However, I figured when I was doing that, I was ignoring an important potential source of carbon storage at the site. So my second hypothesis was that soils buried by debris flows promote carbon storage. And I base this hypothesis on what we already know about carbon accumulation in soils, which is that it's rapid for the first few hundred years, and then the rate of carbon accumulation starts to decrease. However, if there's a debris flow that starts another soil forming above that, then you go through another period of rapid carbon accumulation, and that could effectively prolong the period where carbon is accumulating and the amount of carbon that accumulates. To test this hypothesis, I just focused in on the carbon that was in the buried deposit. Because if this carbon is rapidly lost through decomposition and mineralization, then this isn't going to be a meaningful mechanism for carbon storage. My approach was to compare decomposition rates of surface and buried litter. I set up a litter bag experiment with four different placement groups. The first group was at the surface of the 3-year-old debris flow. I also had litter bags at the surface of the 29-year-old debris flow and the 104-year-old debris flow. And the fourth group was buried at 35 centimeters beneath the surface of the 3-year-old debris flow. For each of these placement groups, I installed 16 litter bags with ponderosa pine needles and 16 litter bags with California black oak leaves. I set up this experiment in June, and I collected the first set of litter bags in October, which was 109 days later. And already there was a difference in the appearance of the litter. The litter that was at the surface appeared the same as it did in June when I had put the litter bags in the field. However, the buried litter was discolored, and also the oak leaves were fragmented. These graphs show the percentage of ash-free dry mass remaining as a function of time for the 29-year-old surface and the 104-year-old surface. For both litter species, the rate of decomposition on these two surfaces was about the same. For California black oak, the decomposition constant was 0.13, and for ponderosa pine, the decomposition constant was 0.12. However, on the 3-year-old surface, there was a different trend in decomposition. I couldn't calculate a decomposition constant because for both litter types, there was an increase in ash-free dry mass over the winter months. For the buried litter, however, there was a clear increase in the decomposition rate. The decomposition constant for buried California black oak was 0.44, and the decomposition constant for buried ponderosa pine was 0.34. So this experiment actually refuted my hypothesis that soils buried by debris flows promote carbon storage, because the increase in decomposition rate is going to tend to counteract the increase in carbon accumulation rate as the soil formation takes place. So my revised hypothesis is that carbon storage occurs in phases of accumulation due to soil formation, burial by debris flows, and carbon loss due to decomposition. So if we were to look at carbon storage in these soils across several debris flow events, we would perhaps see a cyclic nature to the amount of carbon stored in these soils. And perhaps over several cycles, there could be some net carbon storage taking place because the decomposition does not result in the complete loss of the carbon. From the first part of this study, I concluded that carbon accumulation occurs predominantly in the organic horizons, while nitrogen accumulation takes place in the organic horizons and the mineral horizons in approximately equal proportions. And I also found that there's an initial depletion of nitrogen from the mineral soil before accumulation begins. Based on the buried soils part of this study, I concluded that the potential for carbon storage in buried soils is diminished because of high decomposition rates of buried organic materials. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You buried your litter. Did
yes.
You get the same result if you had a buried?
Well, I was trying to replicate what would actually happen, which, I mean, doing the litter bags isn't exactly an exact representation of that. But what I interpreted about the buried A horizons was that they actually started out as buried O horizons because there was an O horizon at the surface before the debris flow happened. Oh, I think a big source at this site is going to be atmospheric nitrogen deposition. There are a couple nitrogen-fixing species, but they aren't widely distributed. They're only on a couple of the surfaces. The main one is Ceanothus. And those are the two primary sources.
You estimated the accumulation rate is about 1.5 grams.
Yeah, I would expect a high rate of nitrogen deposition at this site based on the atmospheric data that I've seen from the site.
What mechanism do you propose for that free mass increase in those buried litter samples?
I'm not sure about that. It could be something related to fungal growth, but I wasn't noticing much of that, so I'm not sure how to interpret that. Yeah.
Well, it's a really steep gradient you have there. How much material was moving, you know, from above, like in litter fall, and just moving by deposit down into the places where your debris flows were?
Yeah.
Did you measure litter fall and those?
No, I didn't get to do that. Those things, but I tried to pick fairly similar places in the topography to do my analysis so that they would be comparable to each other, but there is definitely some redistribution of the litter across the landscape.
One last question. I would have asked this a year ago, but after hanging out with a soil scientist from Washington, I have to ask this, because you had an awful lot of coarse fragments in there. I don't know the geology. carbon would be in the rocks?
I don't expect that there would be much. They're not, I didn't get to look at that though, but I don't think that's a major source of carbon. There was some inorganic carbon at the very beginning of the experiment, but that got leached out with between less than 1 and 26 years, and I took that into account in my organic carbon estimate.
Good. Okay, well, thank you, Judith. And again, that's our